I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. He liveth forevermore.
I know my Redeemer liveth.
I know my Redeemer liveth. I know. Bless your holy name. Thank you for all you did for us last year. Thank you for bringing us into this new year. Thank you for what you will do in the lives of your children, particularly tonight. Thank you for a new beginning, Lord. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. Because you live, my Father and my God, we trust that our tomorrow will be all right. Amen. And so we pray that your resurrection power will bring revival to this land. Amen. That resurrection power will put an end to premature death in this land. We pray, Lord God Almighty, that in the homes of all your children, there will never be another tragedy. Amen. We pray, Lord God Almighty, that when your fire falls, everything that is evil will be consumed in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, bless your children tonight. Amen. Let it be well with all of us. By the time we are leaving here, Father, I pray we all sing a new song. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Shake hands with one or two people and tell them, expect the fire of God tonight. You're all welcome in Jesus' name. Since I'm seeing many of you for the first time this year, Happy New Year. And to all mothers, Happy Mother's Day. And since there will be no mothers without fathers, Happy Father's Day. Glory be to God. Oh, thank God for the children choir. That was a beautiful, beautiful presentation. And thank God for the Pastor Seed singers. They also did very well. And thank God for the ancient landmark. Why are you not clapping? Very beautiful presentation. Thank God that they're not going to show it at FOL because it is a play most appropriate for a workers' rally. Most appropriate for a workers' rally. Surely not a play for an outreach like FOL. It's a play that will cause you to think and to reconsider your ways. So it's an extremely appropriate play for a workers' rally. Let's give the Lord a big round of applause for I'm sure you are waiting for however. There is no however. Oh Lord, 2 Kings chapter 2. We're reading from verse 9 to 15. 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 9 to 15. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou art as a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a wild wind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. The fire is going to fall for someone tonight. I know you, some of you have traveled from afar to come to this program, but you've come for a good purpose. You've come to learn, and according to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15, Proverbs 18, verse 15, the Bible says, the heir of the wise seeks knowledge. So if you have come to learn, it must be because you are wise. And the Bible tells me that the wise shall inherit glory. That means he who is seeking knowledge, who is considered wise, has a glorious future. Proverbs 24, verse 5, Proverbs 24, verse 5 says that a wise man is strong. But he went further to say a man of knowledge increases in strength. You are wise because you have come to learn. But as you seek knowledge, your strength will increase. And I pray that even if up to this moment it is not true of you, you will be stronger than your enemies. But the most important passage about seeking knowledge, about traveling long distances to seek knowledge, is probably found in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Many of us know the first part of it. We quote it, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." We know that. But there is a section of that passage that is even more powerful than that. It says, "He who rejects knowledge will be rejected by God." So if you're a worker and you hear there's going to be a workers' meeting, you say, "What are they going to do there?" They are going to hear the word of God. "I don't have the time for that kind of thing. It's a long journey." He who rejects knowledge will be rejected by God. I pray that you will never do anything that will cause God to reject you. So you come to learn. That's number one. Number two, you have also come to be blessed. If you travel 1,000 miles just for you to hear your father say, "God bless you," it is worth it. Because when God said to Abraham, "I will bless you," the result that he became a great man. When the Almighty God said, "I will bless Isaac," Isaac ended up becoming very great. When the Almighty God promised Jacob that for Abraham's sake, he will bless Jacob, Jacob became exceedingly great. Esau, who got just a remnant of blessing from his father, prospered so mightily that he had 400 bodyguards. Blessing. When Jesus carried the children in his arms in Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16, Mark 10, 13 to 16, all he did was he laid his hand on them and blessed them. "In the name of the one who has chosen to make me your spiritual father, I hereby decree you are blessed." If that's all you get for coming this way, it is worth it. Because the moment you hear God bless you, all the forces in heaven, on earth, underneath the earth, we begin to do everything possible to make sure you succeed. And so I want to say one more time, God bless you. So when I feel a bit amazed when I meet some people and they say, "Daddy, please pray for us." And I say, "God bless you." They say, "Amen." They say, "But pray for us." I've given you the greatest prayer you can ever get. May I repeat it one more time? In the name that's above every other name, you are blessed. And you remain blessed. Now, let the fire fall. Elisha was a worker. He was a worker in the ministry of Elijah. The day the fire fell for him, several things happened. Because the day Elijah was taken away, and the Bible said Elisha saw it, what he saw were chariots of fire and horses of fire. When the fire fell for him, all his years of faithful service were rewarded. There are some of you who have been laboring quietly for God in your churches. Many of you are not recognized. Many of you are not noticed, even by your pastors. But the one who lives in heaven had noticed everything you have been doing for him. And he has chosen this year in particular. He has chosen this day in particular to reward your faithfulness. Elisha was a worker. 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 11. 2 Kings 3 verse 11 tells us that he was pouring water onto the hand of Elijah. He served faithfully. And the Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58, that God is not unjust to forget your labors of love. So he said, hey, remain steadfast, remain unmovable, continue to abound in the work of the Lord. Just keep on serving him. He's noticing. And the day is going to reward you, even you will be amazed. And when the fire falls tonight, your reward will begin. An incident happened in Nigeria not too long ago. We were getting ready for the Congress, and there were handbills distributed to workers to share with people to advertise the program. And there was a worker in a bus traveling along one of the roads in Nigeria, notorious for highway robbery. And the highway robbers blocked the way and they started robbing from one bus to another, one car to another. And one of the robbers entered into a bus and began to ransack everything everybody had. And this worker was at the very last seat of the bus. When the robber came to her, he saw the handbill about the program that is coming. The robber looked at her, looked at the handbill, and turned back. Came out of the bus and told the others, "There's nobody else in that bus. Let's go." "What about the other buses we are yet to treat?" He said, "I say, let us go." That worker said everything she had in life was with her. She was going to buy goods for sale for the end of the year. The robber saw the handbill and turned back. You never can tell how God will come to reward you for all your labors of love. But one thing I can guarantee, beginning from tonight, as the fire falls for you, all your years of faithful service will begin to be rewarded. When the fire fell for Elisha, the second thing that happened to him was that his hard request was granted. When he said to Elijah, "What I want is a double portion of your spirit," Elijah said to him, "You have asked a hard thing. What you are praying for is too difficult to be granted." There are some of us who have needs as workers. There are prayers that we are even afraid to pray. I have good news for you. It has pleased the Almighty God to decide that tonight, as the fire falls for you, your request, no matter how hard, will be granted. You see, the Bible says in John 14, verse 14, John chapter 14, verse 14, he said, "If you ask anything in my name, I do it." In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, the Bible went further to say, "Call on me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know." Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "If you delight yourself in the Lord, he shall give you the desires of your heart." Some of us ask small things from God. I can assure you, I used to be like that. But I've learned my lessons. I've learned to ask God for hard things. And I will encourage you tonight, when it is time to pray, don't ask small things from God. Because no matter how hard your prayer request tonight, in the name of the one who called me, that request will be granted. I've given you illustrations before of asking God for small things, why it is so wrong. I've told you of an uncle of mine, gone to be with the Lord now, an extremely wealthy man. At the time of his death, if I remember correctly, he had 25 mighty successful companies. He had 5 ship on the oceans. You go to my uncle and you say, "Uncle, please, can I have 100 naira? He will say, "I don't have." "Uncle, please give me 1,000 naira. He said, "I don't have." When you turn to him and say, "Uncle, can I have 100,000 naira? He said, "Hey, now you are talking. How can you be insulting me asking for 1,000 naira? This uncle of mine visited us one day in my native town. We welcomed him because we wanted to get something out of him. And then after welcoming him, he said, "What do you want?" We said, "We want a school hall for our grammar school." He said, "Okay. Is that all you want?" "Well, if you give us that, we'll be happy." He said, "What about a boys' hostel? If you can add it to the hall, we won't mind." He said, "What about a girls' hostel?" If you add it, we won't mind. He said, "What about principal's house? If a human being can begin to dictate to you what you can have, how much about the one who owns the heavens and the earth?" How many of you will ask God for something hard tonight? Receive it in advance in Jesus' name. I'm encouraging you on this. I'm spending a little bit of time on this because a night like this may never come again. Next time we meet, the topic will not be "Let the Fire Fall." But I know a sister who prayed in a meeting like this, "God, by the time I come here next year, I want to come with a set of twins." And she didn't even have somebody who was going to marry her yet. It wasn't somebody who was married, trusting God. She said, "God, next time I come, I want to come with a set of twins." 3 months later, she was married. The very day night she got married, she became pregnant. 9 months later, the babies came. She asked God. How many of you will ask God for the impossible tonight? He will grant your request in Jesus' name. I told you that I once asked God for a double portion of the spirit of Elisha, plus a double portion of the spirit of anointing of Peter, plus a double portion of the anointing of Paul, plus a double portion of the anointing on the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here on earth. Everything added together and then doubled. You have a rough idea of a hard thing. Okay, so don't ask God for small things tonight. He will grant your request. The day the fire fell for Elisha, who was a worker like you, all those who were mocking him were silenced. In 2 Kings chapter 2, from verse 23 to 24, 2 Kings 2, 23 to 24, the Bible tells us that same day, as Elisha was going away, some people began to mock him. They called him bald-headed man. He turned and he spoke a word. And before the saliva from his mouth touched the ground, The mockers were dead. I believe God brought us together tonight to say to you workers in the United Kingdom, the mockery in your life will come to an end tonight. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, Hannah said, "My mouth is enlarged over my enemies." In other words, those who have been mocking me now have been asked to keep quiet and hear me sing. I will just give you an illustration that will tell you how deep that could go. When I was a lecturer at the University of Lagos, students move from lecture room to lecture room. When they finish with one lecturer, they move to another room to go and meet another lecturer. And so the rule is that instead of spending the whole 1 hour in giving your lecture, you must stop after 50 minutes to allow the student to move to the next room. And so I will stop after 50 minutes, and then I will spend the 10 minutes escorting my students to their next class, talking about Jesus Christ. Nothing could keep my mouth shut. One day, one of the girls from a Muslim background confronted me in the presence of all the others. "Sir, you are paid to teach mathematics. Teach mathematics and shut your mouth." She was a student, but you know, she knew legally speaking, she had backing. So I said, "Thank you, ma. I will never talk to you about Jesus again, I promise. I will talk to those who want to hear, but you, no more." Then one day I was sitting in my office, getting ready to come to class, and the students gathered, and it was her class, and she was sitting down. She glanced at her and saw writings underneath her skin in Arabic. So she screamed, "What is this?" And I mean writing. You remember the writing on the wall that you read about. "What is this?" she cried. And one of the maids came and said, "Ah, they got you." "Ah? Who got me?" "Oh, yes. A terrible cult in town. When they get somebody, they write under the skin miraculously, and the moment they get you, anything they ask you to do, you will do. If they ask you to kill your mother, you will do it." "Ah." So she began to scream, and you know what happened? All of a sudden she remembered me and came to my office, screaming, "What's the problem?" She told me, "Please help me. You are the only one that I know I can run to." I say, "Is that so?" I said, "I'm paid to teach mathematics. And it is time for me to give my lectures. Let me go and teach mathematics. You have to forgive me, but I left her there." And she was rolling on the ground, sobbing and crying. I went away and taught mathematics. I came back after 1 hour. By now, when I said, "Are you ready to receive Jesus?" you know the answer. From that day onward, I was never mocked again. Any person or group of persons that have been mocking you, mocking your ministry, mocking anything that has to do with you, when the fire falls tonight, their mouth will be shut. The fourth thing that happened for Elisha when the fire fell for him, that's going to happen to you tonight, is that his promotion was accelerated. When he woke up that morning, he was just one of the many sons of the prophets. By the time that day was over, it was their leader. They all came and fell at his feet and began to obey his instructions. Psalm 75, verse 5 to 7, Psalm 75, verse 5 to 7, made it clear that promotion comes from God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7 to 8, 1 Samuel 2, verse 7 to 8, tells us that the Almighty God can pick up a beggar from the dunghill and cause him to stand among princes. Whenever we say God will promote you, please don't try to understand how he will do it. Because when you think he's coming from the right, he will come from the left. And the way he would do it is left to him alone. Left to him alone. I was talking at the Holy Ghost night just before we came here. My father was a lay reader in the Anglican Church in our village way back in the 1940s. And if you know anything about the Anglican Church, the lay reader from the Archbishop is like somebody talking about heaven to earth. I mean, the distance is just impossible. Lay reader is lower than the catechist. The catechist is lower than the reverend. The reverend is lower than the canon. The canon, the vice, what do you call that? Archdeacon, lower than the provost, lower than assistant bishop, then bishop. Before you now get to archbishop, and then archbishop in other nations, far, far removed from the Archbishop of Canterbury. Am I lying? My father was a lay reader. Who would ever believe that the son of a lay reader will one day be drinking tea with the Archbishop of Canterbury? Who would ever believe? But when God wants to promote you, the method he will use is not your concern. I'm just decreeing to somebody here today that level you never thought you could reach, when the fire falls for you tonight, you go beyond that level. And it could happen suddenly. We had a workers' meeting, and we decided, and as usual in those days when the church was small, the workers were few, When we come to workers' meeting on Sunday night, we will take a Bible passage and I will ask people to contribute. What do you understand by this passage? And we sit in two sections. Pastors sit on one section, workers on another section. And everybody was trying to contribute, but they were way, way from the point. But then one worker raised his hand. I said, yes. And he made a contribution that was head on. So I said, oh, that's very good. Congratulations, Pastor. He heard me say, congratulations, Pastor. He's a worker. As soon as he heard the word pastor, he took his seat. And the pastor said, what's wrong with you? That's your section. He said, no, the Jew said, pastor. And they were all looking at me. I said, it's already said. It's already done. I decree tonight, in the name that's above every other name, you shall be promoted. Number five, when the fire fell for Elisha, the worker, it suddenly became a blessing. He wasn't just blessed, he became a blessing. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. 2 Kings 2, 19 to 22. The Bible tells us that as soon as he came to the other side of Jordan, just after the fire fell for him, the elders of the city came to him and said, we need help. Our city is beautiful, but the water is not. All kinds of problems. And the boy who just left to escort his master across Jordan now became the fellow who spoke a word, and the curse on the city was canceled. And believing God with you that when you get home before you sleep tonight, you will stretch your hand over your city and cancel all the curses. I am believing God that because of this extraordinary workers' rally, every curse upon Britain will be cancelled. Because when the fire falls for a worker, he becomes specially anointed. And the Bible says anointing destroys yokes. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 8, Acts 3, verse 1 to 8, it was not long after the fire fell on the disciples that they began to make the lame to walk. Many of you have been dreaming of the days when God will use you to perform miracles. I've come to announce to you, the day has come. The day has come because when the fire falls, you begin to pray in the spirit more than you've been doing before. And I'm sure you probably have heard the testimony. I was even sharing it with one of our pastors not too long ago. The children of pastors, Pastor Seed Forum or Family in Nigeria, started a church in Lagos. And just occurred to those children, they said, we've heard of Daddy Gio praying for 36 hours, non-stop, and so on. If we can't start with 36 hours, we can at least do 12 hours. And they decided to pray for 2 hours in tongues. At the end of the praying in tongues for 12 hours, they decided to hold a crusade. And all manners of miracles were happening. Lame walking, etc., etc. And the news spread. People heard about this church of very young people, miracles, the kind they are not even seen anymore among their fathers, are beginning to happen among these children. So one night, these children were holding their normal night vigil. And people have heard that, when they are gathered like that and they are praying the spirits, anything can happen. So they got one madman. And when I say mad, I mean thoroughly, thoroughly mad. This is not minor madness, the original type. And so they carried the man into the church while these children were praying. And even before the children could do any major thing, the madman became completely whole. It makes the news. It made the news in Nigeria. I'm believing God for you workers, that even what your leaders have not been able to do, you will do more. Because by the grace of God, when the fire falls on you now, pray in the spirit will become normal with you. The same thing that happened to worker Elisha when the fire fell is that he became a wonder. He became a wonder because of the kind of miracles, signs, wonders happening through him. For example, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7, the Bible tells us how without leaving his living room, he just gave instructions. And a woman who was completely bankrupt became completely free from debt. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 17, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 17, he spoke a word to the Shunammite woman. "You will have a son," he said. The Shunammite woman didn't believe him, but Elisha didn't repeat himself. He had spoken, and it came to pass. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 14, 2 Kings 5, verse 1 to 14, this boy who used to be a worker spoke a word, and Naaman, who had been a leper for only God knows how long, became completely healed. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 37, 2 Kings 4, verse 8 to 37, this boy who was a worker raised the dead. There are various ways I could have spoken to you tonight. I could have prepared a sermon on soul winning. I could have prepared a sermon on faithfulness in the work of the Lord. But this is the message God gave me for you. I think God just made up his mind. He wants to bless you. Because you are going to become wonders in this life. It's going to use you to heal the sick. It's going to use you to raise the dead. It's going to use you to destroy poverty. Again, I shared a testimony. This one, I think, was on Sunday. Of my covenant partners who met with me earlier this year in Nigeria. And it was testimony time. And one of my partners, a young man of about 50 years of age, was testifying that the year before, I had said to them that in the name of the one who called me, that every one of them owing, by the time we meet again, they will no longer be in debt. He said amen, just like everybody else. But he didn't know how that could ever happen. But the following week, the creditor, the bank that he was owing, called him. Young man, how are you going to pay what you owe us? And he said to them, I don't know. I said, what do you mean, I don't know? You have to have a repayment plan. He said, ah. You know and I know that if I'm paying you ₦1 million per day for the number of days I have spent on earth, and I'm about 50 years old, there's no way I can finish this debt. No way. So I don't know. And they said to him, in that case, we cancel your debt. The same Holy Spirit that spoke through me at that meeting, he's speaking through me tonight. And he's saying to somebody here, very soon, poverty will be forgotten in your life. Not only will it become forgotten in your life, you too will be decreeing. And poverty will be ending in the life of your people. And the seventh thing that happened to Elisha when the fire fell was that he became unforgettable. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 to 11, 2 Kings 7, verse 1 to 11. Thank you, Father. The Lord says, someone is saying, could this thing be true of me? He asked me to tell you, oh yes, it is true of you. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 to 11, tells you the story about the siege against Samaria. A siege that was so bad that women were eating their children. And Elisha spoke and said, within 24 hours, the siege will be over. And the siege was over. Now, the city of Samaria never could forget Elisha. I don't know how God is going to do it. But there is someone here tonight The city where you are now will never forget you. In 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14 to 19, 2 Kings 13, verse 14 to 19, the same Elisha, when he fell sick, before he died, and the king came to him, he prophesied concerning the future of his nation. The nation could never forget Elisha. Like I said, I don't know why God is sending this message to somebody tonight. Because the fire that is going to fall on you tonight, somehow, Great Britain will never forget you. Of course, how can we talk about 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. It tells us about the case of the dead man who touched the dead bones of Elisha and came back alive. Do you think that man will ever forget Elisha? No. Almighty God is going to use you to perform remarkable miracles. The kind that will make you unforgettable. I don't have much more to say. I can only say what he told me to say. But there's one thing extra that I saw about Elisha when the fire of God fell on him. It is that this young man did much more than his father. And his father now is Elijah. Talking about his spiritual father. I have a feeling God is about to answer my prayer. And you know my prayer had always been that my children will be greater than I. I'm believing God that when the fire falls tonight, God will begin to fulfill that one also. Some of you are already doing wonders for God. For this I'm very grateful. I remember the situation when we started FOL. Whenever we wanted to do an FOL here, we called the pastors together, including pastors from other ministries. We hold a little banquet for them. And at the place of the banquet, I will share the vision of FOL. They will come, they will enjoy my banquet, and they won't bring their people. Even some of my pastors were not announcing FOL to their people. I believe God had already forgiven them, of course. Then while I was praying, God said, involve the workers. That's when we began to call you together for a workers' rally before FOL. That's when I began to joke with you, text them, Google them, do this, do that. And you will laugh and you will go. I will come to FOL and I will see them downloaded. God has been using you. But I have good news for you. You have not seen anything yet. In July now, when we go to Scotland, you will see what God will do at FOL. Through you. By the time we come here in October, you will see what God will do through you again. I am believing God for every one of you who cry unto God and say, Father, you're looking for someone on whom to pour your fire. I am here. If there is someone who will sincerely call on him tonight, he's very anxious to set down the fire. So if you are the one, because we could be many, the kind of miracles God wants to perform can be for a crowd, it could be for an individual. But if you are that individual, will you stand on your feet and cry to the Almighty God with all your heart and say, Lord, I'm a worker, but this is a special worker, Lord. I want your fire to come down. Let the fire come down on me mightily, Lord. Let there be a remarkable change in every facet of my life, beginning from now. Open your mouth and cry unto him. Let him hear you, even in this crowd. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In that name that's above every other name, your request shall be granted. It doesn't matter how difficult it may sound. Doesn't matter how hard the request may be. Before the sun rises tomorrow, your request of tonight shall be granted. You will become a wonder to doctors. You become a wonder to relatives. You become a wonder to friends. And you become a wonder to your enemies. The Almighty God will use you to cancel curses. You'll be a blessing to your family. You'll be a blessing to your city. You'll be a blessing to your nations. You'll be a blessing to United Kingdom. This night will be a night never to be forgotten in your life. And all your labors of love of the past shall be rewarded. The God I serve will anoint you for speed. Your progress will be accelerated. Your promotion will be accelerated. All your mockers shall be silenced. You will be greater than your parents. And it shall be well with you. And wherever you go from now on, in the name that's above every other name, the fire of God will radiate through you. And when you are going back, you will go back in peace. You will reach home in peace. On your way, there will be miracles. miracles were waiting for you at home. You will never know failure again. You will never be defeated again. It shall be well with you. And you will serve God like never before. Anytime I hear concerning you from now on, it will be good news. So shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. If you receive that, shout a big hallelujah.